of a series that Jordan asked me to do. We're looking at Ephesians 4. And if you missed the first one, get your Bible out and flip over to Ephesians 4. We're talking about Christian communication. How do believers communicate with each other? How do believers communicate with the world? How do believers communicate within marriage? Maybe one partner is a believer and one is not. How do we mirror the life of Christ in all these relationships so that we have the opportunity to come to Him and bring people to Him as those that want to either grow in faith or even find their faith? Evangelism falls in this as well. So we're in Ephesians 4, verse 17, and we touched on this last time, but I want to expand on it a little bit more. So 17 through 20 goes like this. Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. Those people don't feel ignorant. Scripture says they are. They have become callous. I don't feel callous. Scripture says those people are, and maybe you that are believers who maybe have not grown as much as you'd like, or the Holy Spirit is prompting, you might be a little bit hard of heart and a little bit callous. I know I can be from time to time. My wife is happy to inform me of that at certain circumstances. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. They don't have anything else to live for. Why should I live for anything else than my own personal pleasure? Since I'm hard of heart and I'm callous. But this is not the way you learned Christ. Paul is writing under this inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Ephesians. This is not the way you learned Christ. And verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him, yeah, we have, and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Okay, so in 19, talks about the futility of your mind. Sometimes words like that kind of flash by us, and we don't really think, I wonder what that meant. But when you begin to look at God's word and dig into it, go deeper into it, if you will, you might find out that futility of mind means worthless. Well, I don't feel worthless, but maybe your thoughts are worthless. What is your purpose? What is your maturity? What is your direction? What thoughts do you have? And what benefit do they have to the people around you, to the world around you, to God's kingdom, to eternity? Futility of mind means worthlessness or of little value. The world can do good things, but where is the eternal value of those things that they do? And for those of us that are believers, where do we stop and think, oh, what I say and do, remember the topic is Christian communication, what I say and do might have consequences now and for the foreseeable future and maybe for eternity for some folks. So by way of review, here are the four rules or guidelines for communication. Speak the truth in love. This is the primary one. The one that drives all the others. Be angry without sin. We haven't gotten to that verse yet, but we will. Keep current. Stay up with what's going on. Don't let things build up. And attack the problem, not the person. And how often do we go after the person and ignore the problem? We'll touch on these things in session 3 and 4. The scriptures tells us in verse 20, this is not Christ in you. So if Christ is in you, is he manifest? Can he be seen? Can people say there's something different about you? Not something different that's offensive, and I can be that way, but something different that's compulsive, that is attractive, that makes people think, wow, yeah, I wonder what that person knows that I don't. And as we communicate with each other within families and within the world, as we communicate with each other, people are either participating in that or they're watching and they're listening and they're wondering what in the world is going on in that guy or that lady's mind. Who's motivating him? And those opportunities then can be turned to speaking a word of truth, because we know that he is truth. He is truth. So speak the truth in love is rule one. Tough to do. Tough to do. We can often speak the truth, but we can speak the truth out of a harsh heart or a critical heart. So if let's say you're late for something, you're invited to dinner at somebody's house, and they say, you know, show up at 6 o'clock. Do I need to bring anything? No, you just come. We'll be ready at 6 o'clock. And if you're anything like my wife, she's been working all afternoon to get everything ready for 6 o'clock. She's got the food ready. She's got the table looking good. She's got her husband, that would be me, running the vacuum cleaner and chasing the dog around or whatever needs to be done, straightening up the bathroom, all the things that need to be done when you have guests over. And 6 o'clock comes. Oh, wonder where they are. They're not here. Oh, the food might get cold. Oh, this might happen. Oh, that might happen. And then at about 6:30, you show up. So when you walk in, we could respond to you in one of two ways. We could say, you're late. I'm tired of you all taking advantage of us. And why don't you leave and come back next time? That would probably not be very Christian, would it? And that would be harsh. That would be hypercritical. Or we could say, are you okay? Did you have trouble getting here? Was the traffic bad? Everything okay? And they might say, no, it was okay, but we thought 6:30. We didn't think 6 o'clock, 6:30. Ah, that happens. We've done that too. We show a little love. We show a little grace. Let love hide it. Let love put that away. Speak the truth in love. So one says you're late with a harshness, and the other says, I understand why you're late. I care about you. Come on in and let's fellowship together. So that's rule one, speak the truth in love. So we minister grace to those around us this way. That's a Bible word. God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense, and we have a way, we are allowed to administer that and minister that same way through loving kindness. So as we're talking about how to communicate, we're always thinking in the back of our mind, is this person a believer? One commentator says, conversion is a crisis leading to a process. Conversion is a crisis leading to a process. When people come to faith in Christ, usually there's a crisis involved. These people don't like me anymore. I've just found out I have cancer. My finances are in terrible shape. I got a big bill. So those crises make us realize that within our own self-effort, our own energies, we can't always solve all our problems. And some at that point, it was true for me when I was young, turn to Christ and say, I believe and receive. That's John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And those then are led to a process we call sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. So life is no longer futile, no longer worthless, no longer meaningless, but it has purpose. And as we interact with the world, we'll find out that the rules of communication are vital to that and practical, and apply in every day. So rule one, speak the truth in love. I thank you for your time. Let's pray as we go. So Father, again, we love you. We desire to come closer to you. We desire to be used by you. We desire to be loved by you and share that love with those that are around us. And we thank you in Jesus' name for all of these things.